Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here on Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 every Sunday. Joining us to talk about design, one of my favorite topics, is renowned Chicago designer, well, state of Illinois designer, well, global icon. You want to go global?
Sure,
Don Mondi's joining us in the studio. Well, I saw an article where you were listed as one of the 15 top designers in, was it Illinois or
in Chicago?
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, that's an honor.
Thank you. Yeah, I was pretty excited about that one.
Where did they do the shoot? Did they take one of your homes or?
No. It was just, I think build.com did one, and then Fresh Home also did one, and they just rated the top designers in Chicago.
How do you get in the, running for that?
I didn't do a thing.
They just pick you.
Yeah, you just have to be good.
Ooh, you're good. You're that good.
I'm that good.
How did you get into interior design?
I did it. I was a little slow on this one. So I started when I was about 30. I was home with two little kids, bored to death, needed to use my brain a little bit, went back to school, and
how old
found
are your kids
my
now?
Passion. I hate to admit, but they're 25 and 23.
25, 20. Okay.
She looks 30.
Totally.
How is that possible?
Totally.
Oh, thank you.
I would never think you would have kids.
No.
As old as me. Never.
That's true. And my daughter's a designer as well.
Does she work with you?
No, she's in Denver. Little brat.
Little brat.
Trying to get her back.
So you taught her everything you know, and then she left you.
I know, right? So
gosh.
Ungrateful.
So you started when your kids, you're kind of becoming an empty nester? Is that what's happening?
And I realize, an empty nester.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fabulous. So anybody that tells you any different, they're lying.
God bless you. See that honesty, folks? That's honesty right there. You know, like, I always say this to people. When people say, oh, you should have kids. They're amazing. It's a wonderful experience. They always leave out the hard part.
Oh, my gosh. And it's 18 plus years of the hard part.
Right. So it doesn't end till they leave the house, right?
Actually, it's my 23-year-old's. He's now 24 officially.
Happy birthday, Charlie.
Happy birthday, Charlie. He's also in Denver.
Nice.
Wow. What is it with Denver?
I'm not sure.
It's illegal marijuana.
Could be.
I mean, it is great there, but it's not Chicago.
It's not Chicago.
No.
Look at this.
Just look outside the window.
No, it is pretty gorgeous here. I mean, it does get cold there, too. I mean, it's not what
it does.
Change.
They just have, you know, outdoor sports.
Yeah. That's
get
true.
Them through.
So you started this business a little bit later, but it's a business that you can do that because,
yes.
I mean, I don't,
too late.
Did you go to school or you just kind of had the knack?
I'm a big proponent for being a professional designer where you get your degree so that you can work on, you know, the larger scale projects. You can do contract design, restaurant design.
Yeah.
You know, you're capable of doing anything.
So you started school at 30?
Yes.
And how was that? I mean, did you feel like it was like, oh, God, I'm going back a little bit
It was exciting because I was using my brain again, but it was stressful because I had so much going on. And so I had to do my work late at night when the kids were sleeping and a lot of tears. You know, it was not easy, but it's so worth it in the end because I worked so hard for it.
Did you have to learn all the technical stuff like CAD and all that?
Yeah. Now, I have to admit my CAD skills are a little rusty because I have a team of people and I don't have to work on CAD anymore. I have my girls in my office do it and they're so great and they're so fast that my skills are rusty, but I understand it, and I can read blueprints. I can have great conversations with architects and contractors and developers, so it equips you to do all of that.
And how did you scale your business up?
One day at a time. It was a
good
very
answer.
Slow process, and I started on 9/11. Fun fact, not so fun. It was actually the 9/11, and I'd quit my job. I had two other design jobs before that, and I'd quit my job, and I was already in. And so I thought, oh, boy, this is going to be a tough time to sell anything that's in the luxury market.
Sure.
And so I just showed up to work every day. The work was there. I was so lucky, but it was a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. Nothing happens overnight. And now
a lot of referrals? Like, how does that, you know, because a lot of people listening are like, would love to do what you're doing later in life. Say, I'm going to make the career change, and I'm going to start a business. I'm going to be, because let's face it, aside from being a designer, you're an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that comes first if you're going to really try to build a business.
The bigger your business is, the less of a designer you are.
Yes. We were talking about that off air in the green room. It becomes more that you're operating a business and you're managing people. And,
exactly.
You know, as many times as you can, make an appearance.
Yes, absolutely. I have a team of 8 now, so I've grown my company. You know, we're in the city now. I started out in the suburbs. We've been downtown for 2 years, a little over 2 years. And that's been fun because we get the more urban projects mixed in with. We still have the estate homes in the west suburbs, North Shore. So it's kind of fun. It mixes it up for me, and it's a good challenge. But yeah, as my team has grown, you know, definitely they take on a lot more of the design role. So I kind of set the direction and they run with it. And I have such a great, strong, strong team that it's working really, really well.
Sure. And you just go in and bless it, right? You just kind of like, you're like the fairy design mother.
Yeah.
You come and sprinkle a little like sprinkle, design dust.
Yeah.
And
sprinkle fairy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something awesome. Like that. It's like magic.
Hey, Dave, we got any spots before? We're going to take a quick break here. We're talking to interior designer Donna Mundy. What's the name of your company?
Donna Mundy Interior Design.
Pretty straightforward.
DMID.
I like it.
Bada bing, bada boom.
What's your website?
It's dmundyinteriordesign.com.
Okay. Well, during this break, folks, go check it out, and you can get a flavor for her stuff. I did. We posted a picture of one of her designs on my Instagram. You can check that out, too.
It's also on the Instagram story, some of Donna's designs, so definitely go
gorgeous
take a look
stuff.
At that.
Go to my stream. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to dive into how to make your home office as stylish as, I don't know what, your bedroom, your living room, make it all work, blend it. Kind of be a cohesive design, not just like a desk in a corner. Yep. Damn you. We'll be back.
It's not just home improvement. It's life improvement.
No, you're not alone.
The Frank Fontana Show.
Because I'm going to make this place your home.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's just after 1:35. We are talking design, especially in the home office area, because so many people are working from their home these days. A lot of internet-based jobs, doing homework for school. If you go to school, Dave, you don't do homework, do you, Dave?
Well, I do prepare for certain stories when I'm doing new specials.
Do you have a little home office?
I do. Actually do.
What does that look like?
It just looks like a silent place. No, I actually have a little desk where I have my laptop.
Well, you live in like an apartment, right?
Yes, I live in an apartment, and basically it's next to the laundry room where it's just I won't get distracted.
So do you like the sound of the tumbling dryer going?
No, because melodic. If I'm upstairs, between Alexa and the TV and Netflix and this, and I'll just watch this for now.
Well, you should pay attention. We're talking to interior designer Donna Mundy from D. Mundy. What's the website again?
D. Mundy Interior Design.
D. Mundy Interior Design, Chicago-based interior designer. Used to be out in Hinsdale. Moved operations to Chicago. Now she's blowing up and taking over the city, doing all sorts of fun projects. And you'd recently, you contribute a lot to publications. And there was this one article you wrote, which is why we contacted you, from the publication Mansion Global, is it?
That's right.
Tell us about the article.
They asked me to contribute about how to make a home office special. Like, how do you blend the beauty that I would want or that people do want along with the function that you absolutely need for the space? And it's always a trick because the function needs to happen. You need to, especially in a home office, especially with people working from home or
sure.
kids doing homework.
Are you getting a lot more calls these days for that?
We generally work on pretty full-scale projects, so it's usually not just one room that they're calling for. Sometimes it could be a few, but it's just part of every project that we do. There's
right.
always a home office component, whether it's a dedicated room or a space within another room. Maybe they have a guest room they're not using and they want it to double as a home office. So,
sure.
But people, they all need space to work, whatever their job is.
And in researching for this article, did you find, you know, when you think back to some of the jobs you've done or are doing now, are people losing the idea of a den or a dining room and converting those into home offices?
Yeah, the dining room is probably the number one room that they'll forego, or the living room, actually. The living room would be the first. If it's more in the suburbs, they usually have a living room up front. A lot of times they'll turn that into a study library. Needs to be a little bit more formal, a little bit more, you know, make sure that it's beautiful and fits and it's cohesive with the rest of the home because it's front and center. But then some even have, the larger homes have two. They'll have like a back office that's more the home office hub that can get a little messy. Maybe there's more, you know, cabinetry.
Would you call it like
there.
Mom's home office where she has the bills and the laptop? Or you
hate
that
to
term.
Say that. Like, yeah. We don't want to peg her as the bill payer, right? But yeah, there's kind of a his and hers thing that happens. It's not my fault.
No, I mean, it does happen. But like you said, it's more of the control center too, where it's like the kids' schedules and all that kind of
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
I think we have one of those.
The family center.
Yeah.
And then there's the nice, you know, formal study up front that looks nicer. It's more appealing.
Yeah. Yeah, not necessarily dad's, but that's where he, you know, had the wood paneling wall and have his velour robe on with his slippers.
Sounds creepy.
and a cognac. Taking his business calls.
It's quite a picture.
Yeah, you know, I mean, just painting a little picture. That's all I'm saying. So what trends are you seeing in home offices?
I think for us, it's just about, you know, we always want to think through if we have the luxury, if we're doing either a renovation or it's new construction, is really thinking through the function of the space, where you're going to locate all the equipment that you need, which is less than it's ever been. There's usually a central hub now with the smart homes, which is nice because that can be located in a closet or a basement.
There's one Wi-Fi unit, a laptop, and you can have yourself a home office.
Exactly. Even a wireless printer we can tuck away either into an adjoining closet or we'll design built-ins to house those things so that we don't have to look at the function of the space and we can really make it as beautiful as possible. Floating desks, writing desks versus the old clunky desks with all the drawers. We don't need file systems anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, people just let go of the papers. We don't need it. It's all online. All of your bills, you'll be able to find all your bank statements.
Even medical bills are online these days.
Yeah, I don't even look at them. Like, you just kind of, I don't know, doesn't it all just happen automatically?
Well, medical records, too, now online. Yep. I mean, all that stuff. I don't know about that.
But you having it in your drawer isn't going to help that.
No, I never look at it anyway.
Yeah, so let it go. And then you can have these beautiful writing desks.
I just have a file cabinet for, like, backup file. Like, if I send an invoice, I'll print it out and put it in a file just to have it. Just in case one day, when the world comes to an end, the computers all blow up, and everyone who files everything on a cloud somewhere is like, what happened to my world? I'll be the one guy with a piece of paper saying, see... you told me I shouldn't print this, but I did.
You're going to pull out your Blue Cross Blue Shield yes, and be like, you're the man.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll be the only one left.
That's awesome.
No, I'm sure people still print stuff somewhere. But I do, mostly, paperless, I would say. Yeah. Color-wise, is there a color people should stay away to or gravitate towards if they have a dedicated space? I know it's hard when you're unifying or an office is part of a larger room. But let's just take the scenario of I have a dedicated room. I might, like you, you're an empty nester. Maybe you convert one of your kids' rooms into an old office because you never want them to come back home.
True story.
True story. At least you're honest.
Yes, I love them. I don't think that there's necessarily like a color that I would avoid necessarily. What I would say the most offensive things are wood tones. Like if you have an older office that has that cherry wood, mahogany, red undertone, that kind of, I'm sorry.
Like the office from The Godfather you don't like?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's iconic, so maybe just for him we could just
for Don
time
Cleo.
Capsule that. Yeah, but exactly. For everybody else's home, I think the wood tones go out of style faster than anything else. And they get a good 10 years, but when you spend a lot of money on it originally, people have a really hard time letting go of that. And if you want to keep the cabinetry and it's great in great shape, paint it.
Right.
Paint it. It's a lot more work to strip it and restain it. So I would say just paint it.
What about the psychology of color, though? Like, reds and yellows have the certain urgencies attached to them, where like blues and earth tones might be a cooler. Is there any truth to that in your world?
There is some truth to that. I think blue is a calming color. Greens can be calming. Reds, nobody, like we have one client that is working with red right now and loves red.
Really?
But literally it's one in 200.
What's her personality
200.
Like?
She is like a cartoon character. She's hysterical.
I feel like she'd be like a firecracker.
She is.
Yeah.
She is. I literally think you'd like see her on a sitcom. Like Seinfeld's parents or something. She's so funny.
That's exactly who I thought,
so
too.
Funny. So we're doing red.
Primary red?
Primary red. Good but we're Lord. Gonna make it cool. We're gonna do like a lacquered bathroom I'm getting off topic, but a lacquered red bathroom with like super cool edgy art on it. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see
that. And that's what a designer's job is to take that idea and make it work.
Yeah, and make it current and modern and sophisticated or fun, whatever vibe you're trying to go for. And something that will last. I always say design has a 10-year shelf life. If you get 10 years out of it, that's great. And then you move on to the next thing. You can try to keep some elements as timeless as possible, but it's just things change. I mean, your fashion changes, your cars change, technology changes things.
Yeah.
So
what's your feelings on inspirational artwork?
That's a great question. Like, it's kind of the chicken and the egg. Like what came first?
Like, you have the picture of the eagle and it says soar.
Oh, I thought you meant taking inspiration from the art. Okay, I don't.
No, like, do you like the idea of people hanging things in their office that inspires them?
Well, yes. Okay. I love a great inspiration board. And I think like really cute quotes done in a nice way, like Etsy. I don't know if you ever go to Etsy, but Etsy has, they have amazing digital art that you can do an art wall for, you know, next to nothing if you size it in a stock frame size.
Sure.
So you're not custom framing. So I don't mind that mixed in if it's done in a kind of a cool way. If it's that eagle soaring with the dumb,
when I go into
like,
an office,
scene,
I just want to throw up all over people when they have that. It's just terrible.
What's like your least favorite quote that you would see in an office? The eagle soaring?
Aim high or something, and it's an eagle. Yeah. Or like a tall building, like aim high.
We've just insulted a lot of people out there.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
It's okay, though.
But you know what I like? There's a, in that vein, there's a website out there that is doing these digital reprints or prints of like iconic movie, you know, quotes that are inspirational. Like I'm a big fan of Rocky.
I was just about to say that the quote where he's like, life's going to beat you down and it's going to keep beating you and beating you and beating you.
Keep on moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
It's the best movie quote of all time.
All times.
All time.
And then there's, I love Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's a great movie.
And there's an image of him holding the money, like the dollar bill, and he's got this like grin on his face. Like things like that, I think, are cool ways to like have your employees go, oh yeah, I get it. I should go out there and lie to people and take their money. You know, like that's, I mean, to me, I think a little bit more inspirational.
Yeah. If it's pop culture.
That's what I mean. Like, make it fun. Yeah. Make it fun. Those days of the soaring eagle are over.
Yes.
You know, I feel like telemarketers do that a lot.
I see that store in the mall, you know, that sells that stuff. Yeah. It's just so cheesy.
Who buys it anymore?
Hopefully not anybody.
Well, they're still in business. Somebody is.
Yeah.
I gotta believe, like I said, I think it's like those telemarketing companies that have like 1,000 employees that have to go in there and like sit at a phone all day. So they hope that eagle poster is going to make that extra phone call happen. Anyway, so what else could we get in those offices to make us be more productive?
More productive.
Like workstations. Like, are we doing the old school, like, pen holders? And because you brought some stuff in here that I think would fit nicely into a masculine office here.
Now you're talking. I kind of brought one that was more masculine and one that was a little bit more glam. So a little something for everybody. But I think your desk accessories should really, it's an opportunity to kind of show your personality.
Definitely.
And make it a little bit less sterile. And so I like to have a really cool tray, some boxes for storage so that you can tuck your printed bills or whatever away that you like to carry and keep on you. Cute little dishes to put your paper clips in.
Right.
Great bookends.
Like the bone, like it's like an ivory kind of faux ivory. Yeah, that's really nice.
And it kind of gives you like a little traveled look. That's the more masculine one. Yeah. Little artifacts like our Buddha over there. Talk about inspiration.
Definitely. The wishbone.
Wishbone.
I like the color coordinated book.
Everybody needs a little luck.
Yeah, everybody can use a little luck. Mm-hmm. But this I'm seeing a lot is where people are kind of monochromatically dressing their books in an office versus the old days of wanting to see the labels and covers and, you know, oh, that's what I've read. Now it's just about style.
Yeah. If your labels and covers are beautiful, I say, you know, let them be out. Like I have a ton of coffee table books in our bookcases at home and they're great. They're so beautiful. They're like art. But if you have the, you know, Danielle Steele and Stephen King's and all of that, like they're not going to look so pretty. So if at the very least, take the cover, the wrap off, and usually the leather bound part underneath is a lot less offensive.
Well, you don't look like looking at like long haired Fabio on the cover of.
Oh God! Daniel Steele. Never liked him. Yeah. Never.
Anyway.
I don't know. I'm
all right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit more with Donna Mondi from Donna Mondi Interior Designs. Dave, what was you're saying to whispering in my ear here?
Yeah, the people should take a look at WGNradio.com/watch to see all these things.
Yeah, we got them posted up on there, and Jenna's recording now for my Instagram page. And you're on Instagram and Facebook and all that too, aren't you?
I am. Instagram's my favorite. It's Donna Mondi Interior Design. Same for Facebook. Watch my stories on Instagram. That's where you see behind the scenes. They are good stories.
Stuff that you won't see otherwise.
Yes. I try to make my feed the pretty pictures, and I go for it in my stories.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll hear more about that when we come back.
The bad, the ugly.
We're talking to interior designer Donna Mondi. Donna, thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
This has been fun so far. So we'll turn the tables a little bit here. We're going to ask a couple questions about being an interior designer. What's your favorite part of the job?
I think the best part of the job is that you create something in your mind from nothing. And then, I mean, it takes some time, months and months later,
right.
You actually get to see that vision come to life. And it's such a cool thing to be able to create that. And it, and when it comes to life, you're like, that's exactly what I saw in my head. And you can see it without having anything there. You know, we work on new construction all the time. There's nothing even built yet, and we're designing it.
Just by dreams and wishes of the homeowners, right? Just kind of like, or sometimes not even.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do like working with a homeowner because it's more personalized than doing like a spec home or something like that. So it's it, to me, that's more fun and more unique. But it's just the coolest part of the job is being able to see it come to life. You're creating something.
What don't you like about being an interior designer?
Ooh, same thing that I like about it, I guess. The clients are tough. It is tough because you have a vision, and a lot of times there's fear that will come into play, and they're afraid of that color. They're afraid of that wall covering. They're nervous that it's not going to look right, and you know they need to trust us that we know what we're doing and that we're leading them down the right path. And sometimes they'll, or budget, you know, those things can all kind of play into having them pull back on the design and make it a little bit more safe, or they want to do what they've seen all over, what's all over the magazines, what's all over Instagram. And my point is, whatever's on Instagram today was likely planned 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's a kitchen or a bath, you know, by the time that that circulates, it takes so much time to get that put together, photographed. And then if it's in a magazine, that we're waiting, you know, 2 years sometimes for that.
You ever have to walk away from a job where you just know that it's just going to be a headache?
Yeah, I hate to admit that, but well, I try, you want to work with everybody, and there are just times where it's just not going to work out. And so we'll either try to get ourselves fired somehow, gracefully exit. I don't know. Like it's a really tough thing. It's like breaking up, and you know, it's really hard. It's not easy on either part. So we try to make it work, and 99% of the time it does. But every once in a while, you'll just have somebody that's just working against you, and
it's just like relationships. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Yeah. You want them to work most of the time, but sometimes the chemistry isn't always there. It's like, I always say, it's like a marriage.
It's so true. It's very personal, and you are together for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's important that you get it right when you're choosing your designer, and then you have to trust them. You have to let them guide you through. We do this all day long, year after year after year, and I've learned through doing things that, you know, that I know what I'm doing. So you have to trust, if I'm telling you you're making a mistake, you're making a mistake. And it's hard to sit back and watch people waste money or
make bad decisions. Especially if you're working in a luxury market, you know, and you got people with a lot of money who, along with a lot of money, come probably a big ego because they've achieved a lot of great things. Not everybody. It's just a general statement. And then with that comes the challenge. You know, like, hey, yeah, I know I hired you, but I some people hire you to hear themselves, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, hopefully at that level, they're used to delegating and they're used to trusting other professionals, and hopefully they're so busy that they're just, you know, here, Donna, run with this. Here's what I want. Here's my checklist of, you know, wish list.
Right.
And then let me do my thing. Let my team, you know, let us do what we know how to do.
Yep.
And they are able to focus on what they do best.
What trend would you like to see come back in the interior design world?
Ooh, it's coming back. It's back. Okay, so this is my new word, maximalism.
Maximalism.
Yeah, everything got so vanilla and boring and grayish, and it just became so boring and so predictable.
Topia.
Yes.
Welcome
and it's
to
not
Topia.
Utopia.
Not Utopia. Topia.
It's the opposite. And now there's so much color and vibrancy, and even the furniture lines are getting more interesting, where tufting is coming back and the rich decadent fabrics are back.
Layers and layers.
They were always there for me, but you know, it's so nice to see this decadence coming back in design. It's just so much more unique and interesting. All you have to do is walk right down Michigan Avenue and look at the windows.
Yeah.
The color, the patterns, like patterns. There's this grandma
That's
chic
exciting.
Thing. Go to Gucci. Like there's a grandma chic everywhere.
What it's trend crazy. Do you want to see go away?
Ooh, okay. Let me think. Grayish.
Grayish.
White kitchen.
White kitchen.
White kitchen.
Okay. I apologize.
How about barn with shiplap and all that crap?
Shiplap's pretty cool if you do it. I think if you painted a really cool color, like I'd go black, charcoal, something dramatic.
Mm. So you think that trend's going to stay for a little bit?
Shiplap I think is okay. I think it could stay for a while.
How about barn wood?
Barnwood, I'd put it on a ceiling or a wall, you know, for now.
Okay.
I think the texture is nice. You know what? It's not necessarily like separate element that would have to go. It's more about the same grouping of items. So if you've got the barn wood with the industrial lights, with the concrete, you know, all of a sudden you're like very iconically industrial. Mm-hmm. But if you took that barn wood and you mixed it with something that was maybe a little bit more French, it could all of a sudden go like a really cool modern French.
Funky cool.
Yeah.
Funky French cool.
Vibe. So,
Donna, thank you so much. This has been a blast. You got to come back. We'll have you back maybe during the holidays to talk a little about holiday design, because I know you're anti-holiday maybe.
Oh, no, I love holidays.
Not anti-holiday design, like traditional.
Color.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. Exactly. Where can people find you online, on social media?
DMundyInteriorDesign.com and Donna Mundy Interior Design on Instagram is my favorite, but it's also Facebook as well. And I'm on Twitter too, DMundyID.
And apparently you can see more behind the scenes with Donna on her live feed.
Yes.
Stories. That's your world,
Instagram
Jenna.
Stories.
Instagram stories.
Instagram stories.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll hit the news at the top of the hour.